I want to do that today. Whew, thank you, God. Couple of things before we've already started, but I'm going to ask Joycelyn, if you come up here a minute, we're going to pray for you. Joycelyn is leaving for Costa Rica on Wednesday or Tuesday? Wednesday morning. She's going to be joining Ken and Frida and helping them for a month. Come under this arm. It is a privilege that we pray for you today, and we send you off in the power of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that God will use you to encourage Ken and Frida and the people of Costa Rica, and we join our hearts together. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for Joycelyn. Thank you for her heart, and thank you that she has this opportunity to go to Costa Rica. Lord, use her in mighty ways. Keep her safe. Keep her healthy, God. And I pray that she will be just a light that shines, filled with encouragement and truth. Lord, I just pray that this will be a time, too, that Joycelyn is lifted up and built up in the most holy faith. I thank you, God, that she loves you, and we send her out with full confidence today that you are going to just give her a double portion, Lord, of your blessings and of your gifts. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. And then someone else earlier, I get this request almost every week, sometimes not every week, but can we sing happy birthday for someone? And normally the answer is no to that, because we'd be singing happy birthday every single week. But Emily turns 94 today. And if I remember right, we sang happy birthday when you turned 93. So the rule is, if you turn 93 or 94, we will sing happy birthday for you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Emily. Happy birthday to you. Woo-hoo! I'd like to say may God grant you a long life, but he already has, so praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, this is a service we talked, if you weren't here last week, I apologize. I'm going to try to help you fill in the gaps here a little bit, but we've been talking the last number of weeks about David and Goliath and about how there are giants in our lives, that a giant can be depression, it can be drugs, it can be a person. Maybe you resent somebody, someone needs to be forgiven. A giant can be fear. And I don't know if that's your giant or not, or worry. You know, some people are just caught up in worry. That can be a huge giant in your life. We've been talking about how God gives us the ability to overcome the giants, and that we don't need that Goliath to continually taunt us and beat us up, because we have the power that God has given us to overcome the giant in our lives. Amen? Amen. So that's good news. That's good news. And the challenge last week was, I encouraged you to come here today with something that you needed to leave behind, something that still has some kind of dominance or control in your life. And the reason for that was we looked last week at the story of David and Goliath, and that David actually cut off Goliath's head. And that he really didn't have to, because if you read carefully the 50th verse, it says that Goliath was dead. The giant was dead from the stone that was embedded in his head. But Goliath had his head cut off. David took the sword out, and he cut off his head because he wanted to make it known to everyone that this giant was dead. So he cut off the head of the giant so that the people of Israel would see it, but also so that the enemies would see it. And what we do when we read this passage, when you read it, you see when he cut off the giant's head, all of the enemies ran away. They didn't run away until then. They were still standing there. Even when Goliath's laying there, they're all kind of looking, what's going on? What's happening here? But when David cut off Goliath's head, not only was the giant dead, but all of the enemies ran for the hills, right? And we just need to do that. We need to do that in our lives. We need to do that in this church. We need to cut off the giant's head. And in a way, when we do this, We're making a proclamation, and it's right in the face of the enemy, and it's right in the face of everyone who's here and everyone who's out there saying, I belong to Jesus Christ, and I am cutting off the head of that enemy, and I want you all to see it. I want you all to know it, that I'm not doing this anymore, that he's had a hold of me. Satan has had a hold of me for a long time, and maybe it's through something that seems innocent, like smoking, or maybe it's because you watch too much TV. You know, that seems really innocent, but it might not be innocent in your life at all. There can be all kinds of ways, that the enemy has a hold of you. And the challenge, I said last week, bring something or write a letter. Maybe there's someone you need to write a letter to. Someone you need to forgive, or you need to ask God to just remove this bitterness or this anger that's in your life. Write a letter. Maybe today, you just need to put one word on that piece of paper, and I'm going to give you some paper. I know it seems like school. I just think it's so important. Maybe you just write on that piece of paper fear, and you don't need to say any more than that, because God knows. God knows what you're fearful of. But we need to make, I believe this, we need to make a bold declaration today that this thing that had a hold of me no longer has a hold of me anymore. That the giant's head has been severed, that the hero of the enemy is headless. Isn't that good? We need to do that. And I know that it's probably hard to do that, and you're thinking, oh, this is, you know, I'm not ready for this. Some of you are maybe ready. Maybe some of you are bringing your crack pipes, or you're bringing your bong, or bringing whatever it is you got to bring to get rid of it. It's time to get rid of it. It's time that we put it in the garbage can. It's time that we get clean. And this is really what it's all about. And God's just laid this, he's laid this so heavily on my heart that he wants us to be pure. He wants us to not settle for anything less than righteousness. He says, I want you to be my holy bride. And I'm tired of seeing you run around with that white dress that's stained and dirty and soiled. I want to clothe you again, my bride. I want to dress you again in the white purity of my redemption and my forgiveness, my cleansing power. He wants us to be holy before him. He wants us to put all things aside that keep us attached to the giant that's in our lives. This can happen later on in the service or while we're doing communion, or you can do this after the service. Mitch, do you mind just kind of passing some of these out? And if there's not enough pens, ask someone down the road. They have a pen. Don't worry about writing something down. If I'm talking, I'm not going to care. Write something down. Write a letter to God today. Say something to God about what needs to be purified in your life. Because it's time for that. It's time. Let me tell you a story while Mitch is passing this out. For about 5 months now, let's see, October, November, December, January, for 4 months now, the heat in this particular part of the new building has not worked very well. And some of you have known that because you bring extra coats. It hasn't worked very well, and we just have had a hard time. We pumped up the heat, we get it up to 25, and it just seems like it couldn't keep up. And so this week I phoned the guy who put it in, and I said, can you take a look at this thing? It just can't be right. I can't believe this is right. Take a look at this. See if you can find out what's going on with the heat in the church. So he went up there, and first time he couldn't see anything. He said, it all seems to be working, and I mean, everything's happening. And he went home, and this is the guy who owned the company. He couldn't figure it out. But then he sent another guy, and he looked at it, and he phoned me up, and he says, I think I found out what the problem is. When you get a big unit like this on the roof here, when you get a big unit like this, the lines that come out of it, or the gas hooks up to the gas line, when you bring your gas line to it, there's always this little blue plastic cover that they put on it to protect it. Yes, Way. Whoever screwed the connection of the gas to the rooftop unit just left the blue thing on and screwed right over top of it. And, yeah, I know. And the little bit of gas that was getting through just because the threading of it had kind of ripped it a little bit. So maybe 5%, just a little trickle of gas was going through, and it was just barely lighting the pilot light and the flames. When it kicked on, it looked like it might be working, but it wasn't working at all. And why am I saying that? Because that, I just think that's an exact story. It's a metaphor for what we're talking about today. That you can have this life that looks great, and you put on a front, you wear a mask, you think you're doing great, you're convincing everyone that you're doing great, but it just takes that little hindrance that can stop the Holy Spirit from flowing through your life. And I just urge you today, I'm encouraging you today to take a good hard look at this. Do not let these words just fly by you. God wants you to have that little blue plastic thing removed from your life, whatever that is. Because the flow of the Holy Spirit is not flowing in your life when there's sin that's hindering it. Let me say that again. The flow of the Holy Spirit, it cannot move if we quench it. If we put out the Spirit's fire, like Paul says. And it can be any, you know what it is. I don't need to give you more examples, but you know your own life. I know my life. I know the buttons that Satan tries to push in my life, and he's successful sometimes. And I just want to make a declaration today that it isn't going to happen anymore, Satan. It is not going to happen anymore. I am cutting the head off of that giant. And I am believing today that not only is the giant dead, but his demons are dead too. Isn't that good? Like, you know, we know that there's an enemy and he's Satan, but you know, he's got demons as well, and his demons do the bidding of the enemy. The demons war against us. The demons sometimes, you know, cause us to stumble and fall. The demons need to see today. The demons need to see today that the head of their leader is cut off in this church. In our lives. No more of it. And you know what? The standard of righteousness isn't Len. And it isn't Jerry, and it isn't Stan. The standard of righteousness is Jesus Christ. Yeah. But you know what we often do is we, instead of comparing ourselves to the standard of God's truth and of his righteousness, what we do is we compare ourselves to each other. And I go, well, there's Karen, and, you know, she's doing pretty good, and I'm doing pretty good, so we must be okay, you know. Or we look at each other, and we think, well, there's Alvin. Well, I'm sure doing better than Alvin is. So if I'm doing better than Alvin, I must be fine. I must be righteous. I must be pretty good and pretty pure before God. Unfortunately, Alvin's not the standard. Try that. Sorry. Oh, those little demons. Okay, I want to read just a part of that story again, because last time we didn't finish it. And just while I'm doing that, I just urge you to think about this challenge. Think about what you want to leave at the altar today. Think about what you're going to put in the garbage can, because there's an opportunity for that to happen. And there is stuff in your life. Maybe it's history stuff. Maybe it's past stuff. There's stuff in your life that you need to get free from today. This is the last part of the story of David and Goliath. We didn't read this last time. I want to just finish the story. And I just got a couple of words. And then we're going to do this. So verse 51. And David ran. I'm sorry, it's 1 Samuel 17. I kind of assume everyone knows this because we've been doing this for about 5 months. 1 Samuel 17, 51. And David ran and stood over Goliath. And he took hold of the Philistine's sword, and he drew it from the scabbard. And after he killed him, he cut off his head. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. And when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Now for the squeamish, I just got to give you a little PG-14 or 13 warning here. this gets kind of intense, but it's what the Bible says. That when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran, and the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Shearim road to Gath and Ekron. And when the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. And David took the Philistine's head, and he brought it to Jerusalem, and he put it, or he put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. And as Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, and this is a really important question, Abner, he said, whose son is that young man? And Abner replied, surely as you live, O king, I don't know. And the king said, well, find out whose son this young man is. And as soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, and with David still holding the Philistine's head. Can you picture this? It's pretty graphic. Here's David standing before Saul, and it says here that he was still holding the Philistine's head, and he said to him, whose son are you, young man? And David said, I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem. That is an important question. Whose son are you? Because, and again, I'm just going to make a quick point here so that you understand that this is all about Jesus today. That when Saul wanted to know who David was, who is this young guy, who is this young man who can, you know, stand up against the giant, that he said, I am the son of Jesse, and I am from Bethlehem. And what we ought to get from that is that David was born in Bethlehem, where our Savior was also born. That David was the David of Bethlehem. His home was where Jesus' birthplace was. And if you can read, and I encourage you to do this later on, you read in Matthew 1, and you see how Matthew 1 traces the genealogy of Jesus. And he goes through all the generations, and he gets to David, and then he goes on for another 14 generations until he gets to Jesus. And he says, this Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, this Jesus has come from this family tree. And from the family tree of David, Jesus was born. That's exciting. This David who was able to overcome Goliath. This David was the great, 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 maybe even a few more, grandfather of Jesus Christ. The Savior of the world. Emmanuel, who is God with us. Jesus Christ, who gave his life so that the enemy could not have dominance over us. Jesus the Christ, born in Bethlehem, who gave his blood, who poured it out so that when we put stuff in here, we can believe it. We can have faith that he removes all of our sins and that he doesn't remember our sins even anymore. Wow.
and I will be your peace. I want to tell you something, that he has said that and spoken that very clearly in my life this week, because I've needed it. He just keeps saying it, Stan, I'm your peace. So just stop trying so hard. I'm your peace. When people say that they're your enemies and they want to hurt you, I'm your peace. When troubles just seem to mount up and multiply, I'm your peace, Stan. When you're disappointed with people because sheep sometimes do their own thing, he just says to me, you know what, that's not your problem. That's my problem. And I am your peace if you take it, if you receive it. I will be your shalom, your wholeness, your contentment. When there's lots of worries, when everything seems to be breaking down, when all hell seems to break loose, he says, I'm your peace. Trust in me. Just trust in me. I'm your peace. When your health is failing, when you're back in emergency again because your heart isn't working properly, I'm your peace. When you're so sick that you can't even hardly get out of bed, just trust in me. I will be your peace. I will be your peace. Thank you, God, for your word. And today, we want to do more than just be hearers of your word. We want to be doers of your word. And so you speak into our lives today, and we want to respond by trusting you and trusting that you're going to shepherd us, and you will be our peace. You are such a great and a mighty God. And Lord, as we prepare to come to your table and to celebrate everything you did on the cross, Jesus, wow, it's so special and such a privilege to be here. We need a new beginning. We need a new injection of grace. We need a better understanding of your mercy today, God, that you don't hold our sins against us and that we can have a brand new life right now. Right now, right this moment. And so, God, for the notes and for the objects and the paraphernalia and the different things that are going in the garbage can right now, and as they continue to go in there, God, we surrender those things to you. And they might be written on little pieces of paper, but they're not little deals. They're big deals in our lives. That person that we're writing about, or that fear, or that addiction that keeps us handcuffed, keeps us in chains, that's not a little thing. It's a big deal, God. We so much want to have that head cut off. We want it to be declared among the nations today that we are free, that we are completely free, that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you that we have this opportunity, that you're not just far away, but you're right here. That's the kind of shepherd you are. You don't shepherd us from another galaxy. You stand on the same hill where we are. So today, God, as we bring these things to you, and as we pray for purity and cleansing and holiness, we believe that you wash us clean and declare us righteous, and that you will remove this head. We put the head on display today. We hold it up high, we put it on display, and we let everyone know that never again, never again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I just want to lead you in a couple songs, and there may be songs that come up now that that you don't even know, or they're not on the words. It doesn't matter. We're just going to worship God. And I feel, just come. And I'm leaving a mic open there that if you need to say something, or I'm going to ask that we don't talk long. Let more people have a chance to talk. But if you want to make a declaration and say something and say, this is the giant in my life. And I want him to be dead forever. That'd be just great. Thank you, God. I don't think we have this on the words, but just sing it with me. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master. Ready to do your will. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Someone want to say something? Just come on up. Sometimes it's good to just declare it. Make it known. Don't be shy. Thank you, Jesus.
Hi, I'm Darcy, and I'd like to I got so many. The paper wasn't big enough, but you know, I like to get rid of these lustful thoughts and addictions and you know, just to want to love the Lord more. Yes. And more, right? And get on this road to peace and serenity, Lord. So I'd just like to thank everybody here today. Like to thank everybody that what they put in there is right from the heart. And the Lord is going to take all our cares away, and we're going to be able to live in unity. Yeah. Thank you.
Hallelujah. May God be praised.
The Lord has put this... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
The Lord has put this on my heart about a month or two ago, and I can't get off it. I don't want to get off it, but it's constantly in front of me. He put everything. Everything's at the cross. My problem is, He took jealousy, he took fear, he took anger, he took our sickness and diseases to the cross, the sins, everything's at the cross. And John 19:30, it says, it is finished, he said. I've done it all. It's all done. But you know what my problem is? Anger will come on me because I run to the cross and picked up the anger again. And then I have to release it back to the cross, the cross, the cross. Everything is done. He's done everything. He had no more blood left in him when he hung on the cross.
Thank you, Jesus.
When the soldier come and jabbed him in the side, I believe it was into his heart, the water and the blood run. He drained himself. Can you visualize? Visualize it. He drained himself of all the blood. Today we're going to have communion. You know why we have communion? To remind us of what he did. What did he do for us? What did he do?
Thank you, Jesus.
He took everything at the cross. Everything you can think of that's hindering you today. And I'm no different than you are. Everything is at the cross. At the cross. My buddy in Crossfield always says, Don, you and I are running back and forth to the cross all the time. He said, we meet sometime. And that's true. We do, don't we? We do. We grab a hold of this jealousy. We grab a hold of this hurt. Somebody hurt my feelings. Boy, I'm telling you. What did I do? I took it. I went to the cross.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
It's there. It's all there. If I could, Lord, help us to get it into our heart and the mind that it's all there. Anything that will hinder your walk with him is at the cross. It's
thank
at the
God.
Cross. Help us to remember that, Lord. Amen. I pray today for all of us. That we can remember that constantly. That's why we take communion. You can have communion at home if you want to. I'm not here to brag, but every morning I have communion. At my computer, there's a package of crackers sitting there. I have my cup of coffee in my hand, and I have communion with him every morning. Every morning, what he did. Because what he did, we can't change. He took it all.
Thank you, God.
He took it all. We're so privileged to walk with him. How will we tell that world? How will we tell the world? I like what Jill constantly says about discipleship. We have to go out and tell this wonderful thing to the world. We can't just sit in our favorite chair Sunday morning and say, praise the Lord, and then go out and never tell nobody. We got to tell them what he has done. We praise you, Father, for that.
Amen.
We are going in the spring. Jill and I were talking about, there's others. Even Mitchell, I talked to him. There's a group of us want to go out in the spring, go door to door, tell this wonderful secret that gospel is the best kept secret in the world.
Amen.
We have to go out. We got to go out and tell them. We praise you, God. You are our King. You are our Lord. You are the holiest of holy. There's no one above you, no one around you, Lord, with the power that you have.
Thank you.
We pray this prayer in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Brother and sister, I would like that you open the Bible in Malachi chapter 3, verse 3.
Just go ahead, read it, Luis. That's
Malachi, fine. Chapter 3, verse 3.
Amen.
I love this song. And when we were singing this song, God bring me this word to me. And here say, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the son of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. That means for me that Levi, the tribe, is not anymore here. Right now, the high priest is Jesus Christ. Every single day, I was asking how I can look like him, because he is our best example to follow. One day I was reading, somebody went to a refiner guy and asked him how you can refine the silver. And he say, like here, he say, I will sit and wait. And how you know that the silver is done and is already refined? And he answered, when my image reflects in this silver. That means that when we look like him, we are ready. So every day there are little details, like the pastor say today. Some people say giants, some people call ordinary sins, some people call in different ways. But the most important is, how can I please God if I am doing well or not? Sometimes I cannot see. Sometimes I am blind. We can accept that we cannot see. He is doing everything for us, but we have to let him work in our life. Because sometimes we close the door and we say we have the chance sometimes that the refiner come and work in our life, but we refuse and we run away from this opportunity. Every day we have a new opportunity. It doesn't matter how what is happening in your life. If he is testing you, it's because he wants to refine you to look like him.
Thank
God
you.
God bless you.
Amen. I'm just one note while you're getting there, Kim. Just remember that, and I want us to try to stay on track here, that we're talking about specific things that we need to get cleaned up from our lives. I know there's lots of good things we could be saying, but what giant do you need dead in your life? Go ahead, Kim.
I feel that the Lord wants me to walk, and I wish someone would, Bill, if you take my walker away from me.
Thank you, God. Right. Thank you, God. Healing power, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Great.
I've been struggling for a very long time of it within myself to draw close to God, to experience him at a bigger level. And this past month and a half, I've been not feeling too well. I've had a lot of time to reflect. And God spoke to me. He says, I want you to look at your heart. And I don't want to get to the heart of the matter, because I really want this for you. And so my giant today was the pride that's in my heart.
That's good. Thank you, Lord.
That he would cleanse me of that I could come to that place of humility before him, before my brothers and sisters, to serve him like brother was saying, as a reflection of Christ.
Amen. Lord, just free us from the pride. Amen. Go ahead, Bill.
I've been in the pasture several years ago, about 12, 13 years ago, knowing quite a few of you. The Father was raising me up prior to that to a place where he wanted me to be, and I took a sidestep. He'd brought me away from smoking. I had taken a lot of the pride and pain out of most of the pain. And right now, I have to say a prayer in front of you, and forgive me for starting smoking again.
Yes, God.
Father God, in Jesus' name, please forgive me for putting walls or allowing giants to stand between me and you.
God.
For the ministries you have put before every last one of us and the one you have put before me. Father, I lay the cigarettes, the pain, the garbage that was you'd already removed.
Thank you, God.
I ask this in Jesus' name. I love you all much. And he is really, really making that love grow. I love you all.
Amen. Bless. Free from cigarettes. Amen. Amen.
Well, I believe everybody should be happy, 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 because we have a God where we can bring this stuff. Because not so long ago, I didn't believe that there was anything that could take me away from this. I thought I was doomed until the day I die with all this characteristic stuff that I had built on myself throughout my life. He takes it all away. You can have hope. You can be happy. What's this sadness doing bearing on our church? We need to be happy. We need to know that God can take this away.
Yeah. Thank God. No, you go ahead, Tim.
Well, for a while now, I've been trying to quit drinking.
Yeah.
It's been bringing me back to a lot of hate that I've had since I lived in Yellowknife, and a lot of hate for my own biological family. And I've read in the book that you're supposed to honor your parents, and I haven't done that ever since I can remember. And the liquor, it just brings up all these vicious thoughts and hate, and it gives me another excuse not to get what I have to get out. And I'm putting my trust into God, and I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get over this. So
amen.
Thanks a lot.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Yes, God.
My anxiety, my giants are anxieties, fears, and depression. And to me, they're not three separate, but they're one big one. And I've lived it a long time now, and I'm tired of it. And I want it to go.
Amen. Yes, we declare that today, right? We declare that that ugly giant's head has been removed. It's been severed in Teresa's life. Thank you, Jesus. Tim.
I also share the same fears, anxiety, fear. And my enemy was put to the cross when I gave my life to Jesus. And that today, I make a declaration that that fear and those anxieties go in that garbage can.
Yes.
And that Jesus Christ, through his blood, was my salvation. And he entered into my life and changed it completely. My life has completely been revamped. Mm-hmm. And that I still live with giants in my life. My giants are nothing because my God is huge.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Good morning. It's a place of pride. And yeah, anxiety, everything else that ties me up. But I reach out, I pray, the Lord is my shepherd.
Mm.
If I place what I have, be it small, in his hands, he can take all the garbage away.
Mm-hmm.
It does make me fearful and pride, and the fire burns.
Mm.
So does the tobacco and everything else that I set in that. It's the blockades.
Mm.
All the things that hold me in where I don't want to be.
Yes.
It's half full or half empty. There's a pile of everything that we can pull out and we can pray about.
Yeah.
And praise God, he's still there.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And he's still, well, he is a protector. And he carries us. And what that love is, that forgiveness, yeah, he wants to see it in us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, God. Come one day. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on up, Denise. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
I'll make it short and sweet. Jesus is my refuge. He loves justice, and he abhors injustice. He's my advocate, my refuge, my intercessor.
Mm-hmm.
He holds me and my husband on his shoulders, yes, above the government, above everything. Mm-hmm. And he is my refuge. I will know that he is I am. He is the Savior. And he comes at the fourth hour.
Amen. He's my refuge and my strength.
Hello, my name's Greg. I think the garbage can's half full of my resentments and fears.
Yeah.
I think coming up here today, for anybody that came up here, it takes courage. And
yes.
I feel that if I didn't come up here today, I'm not really willing to let go. And it's all about letting go of what we put in there. So for me to come up here today, I feel that I'm making a point to Jesus that I'm willing to let these go.
Yeah.
And I'm not just doing it half part, you know, it's all there. So so on the opposite side of fear is courage. So me coming up here today makes me feel that it's all in the Lord's hands. So.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. That's good, Greg. Cut off that enemy. Let's let it be known, right? It's like Paul says, we got something to celebrate here. Let's let it be known that the head is cut off. We're just putting it on display here. Douglas.
Good morning. Shame, guilt, fear. Alcohol is my Goliath.
Yep.
Heavenly Father, His Son, and the Holy Ghost are my David. Thank you.
Cut off alcohol. Cut off alcohol. Come on, Elder. There's lots of people who can relate to that. Lots of us.
I just want to let everybody know that I've suffered from fear, depression, anxiety, shame. And 32 years ago, my husband and I were in a motorcycle accident. And I couldn't handle the pain, and I had two girls, and I turned to alcohol, and it was a disaster. And so it's gone down through our whole generation, and my family is just full of addicts, and mainly drug addicts. And sometimes I still crave a drink, and I just wanted to let everybody know.
Yes.
And I just praise God and pray that He will help us all. In Jesus' name.
Thank you,
amen.
Jesus. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Lord. It's okay. Karen, would you stand with her? We don't stand alone here.
Public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I was a girl growing up afraid of her shadow. And it's funny because it's just us. That was my driving force. Growing up afraid of the silliest things. And then God came in my life. And I had that confidence and the courage to face the fears that held me back. For the last couple of years, I've allowed fear again in my life to be the driving force of my decisions. But I'm standing here now. The courage, Jesus Christ, looking at you, publicly speaking my fear.
Hallelujah.
I want to be set free.
Yeah.
I need you, Jesus.
Amen.
So much.
Jesus.
And I am not allowing fear in my life anymore.
That's right. That's right. Take it captive, God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
I'm going to be that that courageous woman of God.
Yes.
And it says in the Bible, I think it's in Timothy or something, about perfect love casts out all fear.
Yeah.
So I'm going to fall in love with Jesus.
Amen.
Be the man of my
woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Stand for her, jeepers.
Yeah, we don't stand alone.
Hello, buddy. I love this guy.
My heart is so bitter sometimes. I find it very challenging here. I find it very, very challenging. Sometimes, I swear, if someone asks me for one more thing, I'm going to snap. That's my honest truth. I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just pray that God empty myself of myself and help me love as you loved God sacrificially. Mm. And it hurts because people, this is me, guys. This is me.
Yes, God.
Today, very bitter.
Yes, God.
I hate that. Thank you for compassion, guys. Thank you for hearing this. Thank you for your love. I just want the grace to be able to say no once in a while.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't have anything, guys.
Yeah.
All I have is God's.
Wow. And I will be your peace. Amen. Thank you, God. And I will be your peace.
My name's Karen. I should have just stayed up here the last time I was here with my sister, who is so you have so much courage. Mm-hmm. You encourage me to be here. Thank you. Over 30 years ago, God delivered me from alcohol. It'd be about 37 years or something like that. Alcohol and drugs. But that's not the only addiction, of course, in our lives. And so then he took away the cigarettes. There was another one, and that was food, which is an addiction for a lot of us out there. You can see it rampant in the world these days, gluttony, the sin of gluttony. And for me, God had taken about a decade ago, he gave me a vision when he was standing on this altar, and he said, this is what I'm doing for you. And he took his sword, and he jabbed it in this big cube of fat. And it just cracks me up. Anyways, he pulled it up and he says, this is what I'm doing. And he put it in this big round dish, looked like a satellite dish anyways, and he burnt it.
Yeah.
And it was gone.
Yeah.
He had released it. That was the crack.
Yeah.
But I have been carried just like doing the Holy Spirit through the crack.
Yeah.
But now this week, it has been the cap has come off.
Mm.
And today, and I've been praying about this all week, what is the cap? And so he's been teaching me in the last year, focusing me toward eating clean. And this is all that's been going through my head in the last year and a half, is eat clean. And I didn't know what it was until this morning, of course. And it is to eat just Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And this is for me. I'm not to say to anybody else. This is just for me. To eat the clean food that God has given to us in the scripture. So you see before you the before picture. Before. And I'm really big on makeovers, right? So this is going to be interesting to see what the after product will be. It may take
a while.
Thank
you, Jesus.
But I confess to you, there will be no more overeating of any food, clean or unclean.
Yeah.
And God will do the changes and you will see the miracle happen.
Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Amen.
Morning, everybody. I've been struggling coming up here to this morning, and there's so many of you already have talked about
what I wanted to say. With my health, I have a lot of guilt issues, and I carry a lot of weakness in myself. And I don't take my health seriously all the time as I should. And when I came in here this morning, I was sitting down and Pastor Stan was talking with you all. And Aaron, I was handed something this morning from a dear friend. And it's a prayer for protection, guidance, and pardon. And if this isn't a sign of something, I don't know what else is. Amen. God bless and thank you for listening.
Amen. Hey, Rick. I'm going to let Rick, you're going to have the last word right now. I know there's probably other people. Don't leave. You know what? We want to have time for Lord's Supper, but you can stay around for prayer. There's going to be a bunch of us up here praying for people. We want to break that. You know, we want to let the demons know that their hero is dead. Go ahead, Ricky.
So one of my big fears is failing. I actually want to be good at everything I do. I try to put 100% in everything I do. And I'm getting older, and I've been thinking about the future and how I'm going to support my family. And what I do is a physical job. And, you know, one of my dreams was to become my own builder. And I kind of gave up on my dream probably about a year ago. And I went to a prayer meeting last night, and just one of the guys said to me that he seen me have a suitcase and it was filled with my dreams. And I kind of threw it away. And Jesus caught that suitcase. And he's always had it. And those dreams aren't really mine. They're not of me. They're of God. And God gave me those dreams, and yeah. Jesus is holding those dreams. And those dreams are still alive. So, I mean, I just want to get rid of the fear of failing. Because I don't like to fail, and I know a lot of people don't like to fail. And I know that I'm just going to put the faith in God and trust in God that that I'm not going to fail. Because with God, that we won't fail.
You say amen to that?
Amen.
Let's stand up.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, poor sin slain. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son and leading your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see His face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son and leading your Spirit till the work on earth is done, and leading Your Spirit in the work on earth is done.
You may be seated.
Okay, so I have one too. And maybe, you know, it might seem like this is sort of harmless to you, but I don't make fun of your things, so don't make fun of mine. I'm convicted about my television watching, and it isn't harmless. What it does is it wastes a lot of time in my life, and I see some of you nodding your heads. My problem isn't crack cocaine, and I've never been much of a drinker, but I grew up in a home where the television was always on. The first thing that happened in the morning is my mom put on at least one television, sometimes two, and they'd leave and go shopping or whatever. The TV always stayed on all through the day until, you know, midnight, and usually they turned it off before they went to sleep. And I was raised by the television. It was always on, and I have a propensity to it. I can sit and watch TV all night long, and I do that often. And that's not harmless. What's wrong about it is that it's an escape. And I think that this is my escape. Your escape might be something different. Drugs can be an escape. Spending money, gluttony, it can all be an escape. And what happens when I do this is I spend time, I'm just escaping, but I'm not dealing with anything. And I know what God's been saying to me is instead of escaping, and it's not that you can never escape. I think sometimes we need to escape some things. But I need to, instead of escape, I need to just go to God. And I can sit there in a daydream with a TV on, and I'm not thinking about God, and I'm not praying, and I'm not turning to Him. So I want my life to be free from this dominance in my life. And I would just do that. And he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body. I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you all of me. I give you my body. I give you my life. I give you my blood. It is broken so that you don't need to be broken anymore. Do you get that? I broke my body for you so you don't need to be broken. You don't need to be that lonely. You don't need to be that desperate. You don't need to turn to the television or to turn to anything else except to me. My body is broken for you so you could be whole because I am your peace." And he took the cup and he passed it around and he said, "Drink of this. This is the new covenant." This is the new covenant. You don't live by the old covenant anymore. You don't live under the law. You live under grace. I pour out my blood for you. You take and you celebrate. You know there's victory. You remember and you believe. You remember and you believe today. This is tangible. You take it to your lips. You run it down your tongue. It goes down your throat. And you remember that I died for you. I give you this until I come again. Just come and take a piece of bread and take a little cup, but don't eat or drink yet until you find yourself back in your seats. We want to do it all together. I'm going to ask the other musicians to come up, and while we're singing, worship God. This is worship. This is victory. Amen? Just come and celebrate. He's alive.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gained, I count but last, and for content on all my pride.
See from his head.
See from his head. His hand, his feet, sorrow and the flowing down. Jesus is love and sorrow means earth and comfort. Reach out, oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, bid me come and die and find that I truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross, all who gather here, by grace draw near, and bless your name. Worth the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering, you small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross, bid me come and die, and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, all who gather here, thy grace draw near, and bless your name. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, bid me come and die, and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, all who gather here, by grace draw near, and bless your name. Worth the whole wrath of nature mine, that worth an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my
maybe someone could go get the kids. We want to just enjoy this with our children, and they can all come and be part of this. So just welcome them to come back, okay? Oh, how could it be that my God would welcome me into this mystery? This bread, take this wine, now the simple made divine, for any to receive. By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace
You are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you. Remembering leads us to worship. That we worship you. Our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember you. His body, his blood. Know that he has overcome every trial that he faced. None too lost to be saved, none too broken nor ashamed, all welcome to this place.
Amen.
By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you. Remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember you. Dying you destroy our death. Rising you restore our life. Jesus, come in glory. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Oh, dying you destroy. By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace you're making us faithful. We remember you. And remembrance leads us to worship. As we worship you, we respond to your invitation. We remember you. See his body, his blood. See his body, his blood. Know that he has overcome every trial that we face.
Just listen to the words. Every trial.
None too lost to be saved, none too broken or ashamed, all welcome in this place.
Do that again.
See his body, his blood. Know that he has overcome every trial that he faced. None too lost to be saved, none too broken or ashamed, all welcome in this place. By your mercy come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you. And remembrance leads us to us. As we worship you, worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember. We respond to your invitation. Remember him. We respond to your invitation, and we remember you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace, and thank you for your life that you poured out for us. Take, eat, remember, celebrate, and believe the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This blood washes away all your sins. This blood is a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ. This blood is about redemption. Why don't we all stand? Let's stand. We raise the glass. We raise the glass to the victory of Jesus Christ. We raise the glass to the cross and to his resurrection. We raise the glass remembering that we have been paid for with the price of his blood. Thank you, Jesus. Take and drink. Amen. Amen. I'm going to just give you a parting blessing, and you can stay for prayer, stay for worship, fellowship. Don't leave if you have a need in your life. May the Lord bless you today. I think he already has, right? May God bless you and keep you. May God cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance, his face. May his face shine upon you. God bless you. Amen.
Lover of my soul, I want to tell you, only you have asked of me. I cannot contain my adoration, I'm in love so desperately. No one is as lovely as you are. There is no one else who has my heart. Jesus, you have me completely. Every breath that I breathe, I am absolutely in love. Jesus, I am yours forever. All of me surrendered. I am absolutely in love with you. Lover of my soul, I want to tell you, only you have all of me. I cannot contain my adoration, I'm in love so desperately. No one is as lovely as you are. There is no one else who has my heart. Jesus, you have me completely. Every breath that I breathe, I am absolutely. Jesus, I am yours forever. Only surrender. I am absolutely in love. Jesus, you have me completely. Every breath that I breathe, I am absolutely in love. Jesus, I am yours forever. All of me surrender. I am absolutely in love. I'm absolutely